Good morning, America, and welcome to Freedom Frenzy. This is Monday, April 4th, 2011. My name's Jerry DeMars. My co-host is Jenny Hodges. And together, we're going to try to tickle your fancy, tickle your brain just a little bit, maybe make you mad, too, because Jenny likes those snide remarks, as you might recall. And over the period of this week, Jenny and I are going to unveil a little project that we've been working on. We've got some material. Shall we tell them who it is we're talking about, dear?
Well, of course. And Joe in Pennsylvania, you are going to be grinning broadly. That should be everybody's person. Schofield, we're going to shish kebab him in all his glory. We will leave no stone unturned. And when we are finished, we will sweep up the fragments of his reputation, lay them gingerly upon a tall stack of Schofield Bibles, and burn it all while dancing a merry jig. What do you think?
Wow. That's pretty heavy duty, actually, dear. I was going to suggest that we were going to put the information out there in front of them and let them make up their own mind. But, you know, as it is, the way you've described it, they're going to need a bib to come to the barbecue.
They're going to need bibs and hand sanitizer wipes.
And maybe a hazmat suit to go with it, it sounds like.
Well, I think once we thoroughly digest the data that's available, and I came across some fun quotes, one of which was, dispensationalism has been described as among the sorriest in the whole history of freak exegesis. And I have to hang my head in shame, Joe, if you're listening, because I was raised in Joe Markgraf's church, who apparently loathed and despised Schofield and ranted and raved on him on regular occasion, according to my husband. But I was apparently communicating with the mothership during those rants. I did become aware of his loathing for the King James Version of the Bible, and he always said that great, what was the word he used? Sodomite, King James. So somehow I missed the whole Schofield thing, but once I started resurrecting all this data that I haven't thought about in years and digesting it, I realized, thankfully, that Joe is right on target, and this is really getting down to the root of evil when we're trying to grapple with the neoconservative movement, this Zionism, this insane infatuation with a country called Israel, and our need to pump vast amounts of money we don't have into their existence. So
to our own peril.
To our own peril. So very good stuff, interesting stuff. I think we will resurrect a lot of hate and discontent. I'm already looking forward to the hate email or the nasty grams. I think with other people, they'll probably go, wow, now it's beginning to make sense. And then for people like Joe, who will be grinning broadly, going, praise the Lord, someone's talking truth.
Yeah, so when do we anticipate we're going to do that? I think it's probably going to take... Wow, I don't think we could get all that material out there in one show, do you? Unless we just didn't take any calls and charged right through it all.
Well, Jerry, man, you're teasing me now. I thought we were going to begin to dabble today and kind of dabble through till Tuesday or Wednesday this week, because Thursday I'm not going to be here. I've got my jury trial. And Friday we'll be having Frenzied Friday, and also probably everyone will want to know what happened, assuming I'm not in the cage on Friday.
Well, you've got a body of information, and I've got a body of information. You've seen mine. You just sent me yours this morning, maybe within the last 20 minutes.
Scary. I would say 30 seconds at least.
And I've not had much of an opportunity to peruse it. And I think that it would be a substandard product if we put it out there today, dear.
All right, Jerry. I will...
And you know, I would like for it to be something that maybe we could, at some later date, record and make available elsewhere.
Well, for those of you who want to go ahead and get started digesting a topic ahead of our dissertation on it, if you will, we'll give out some helpful websites that you might want to peruse to get a little bit more information. And hopefully by tomorrow, we'll begin digesting this topic. We're going to cut away to a break. Freedom Frenzy. We'll be right back. Stay tuned.
In times like these, you can't depend on the government to keep you warm and fed, but you can depend on the Vermont Bun Baker to do just that. With a Vermont Bun Baker, you'll never be in a situation where you can't cook, bake, fry, boil water, or heat your home all at the same time. One of the most revolutionary cook stoves, wood stoves ever, the Vermont Bun Baker is available with or without soapstone veneer, a natural stone that retains heat and radiates it back into the room once the fire is out. A beautiful addition to your home, the Vermont Bun Baker has an efficiency rating well above 75% and qualifies for the wood stove tax credit. For more information, watch the Vermont Bun Baker on YouTube and live stream, or visit us at www.vermontwoodstove.com. You can also reach us by calling 1-866-SOAPSTONE. Don't ever be hungry or cold because the power's gone out. With a Vermont Bun Baker, all you have to worry about is what's for dinner.
Do you know the truth about cancer treatments? Do you realize that with all presently accepted methods, you are not correctly attacking the cancer and you are mostly fighting to survive the treatment? Do you realize that mutilating surgery, burning and poisoning of your entire system are totally unnecessary? But now it's cancer's turn to die with LaserMed Incorporated's patented methodology. Without cutting, bleeding, drugs, or damaging radiation, we can destroy skin cancer and breast tumors of any size without adverse side effects at our physician's office. Laser technology at its best. For more information, visit www.lasermedinc.com on the web. That's www.lasermedinc.com.
Call now, 501-255-0528. 501-255-0528. 501-255-0528.
Warning for all Gulf Coast disaster survivors. Be aware that dangerous gases are in the air you breathe. Benzene, hydrogen sulfide, methylene chloride, and Corexit 9500. Keep your body clean with microplant powder. For all Gulf Coast residents and all who want to be healthy, hempusa.org brings you a new formulation of microplant powder with lactobacillus acidophilus, rebuilding your immune system while detoxing the rest of your body, pulling out positive toxins, heavy metals, viruses, fungus, bacteria, and parasites. Cleans and purifies the blood, lungs, stomach, and colon. Microplant powder will help eliminate these dangerous chemicals from the body used in the Gulf cleanup. At hempusa.org, we want you to try our number one selling detox product, microplant powder. Call and order at 1-908-691-2608. 1-908-691-2608. Or visit us at hempusa.org.
Well, comrades, we're back, and it's time for Hit and Run News. We do this just about every show. As a matter of fact, I think we've done this every show, haven't we, dear?
Yes.
Okay. Well, do you want to kick it off, or shall I?
No, go ahead.
Okay. Angry and exasperated by faulty disclosure documents, judges throughout the state of Florida are hitting back by increasingly dismissing cases and boldly accusing lawyers of fraud upon the court. A Palm Beach Post review of cases in state and appellate courts found judges are routinely dismissing cases for questionable paperwork, although in most cases the bank is allowed to refile the case with the appropriate documents. In a growing number of cases, judges are awarding homeowners their homes free and clear after finding fraud upon the court. Still, critics say judges are not doing enough. The judges are gatekeepers to jurisprudence in the Florida Constitution to access to the courts and to due process, said Attorney Chip Parker, a Jacksonville foreclosure defense attorney who was recently investigated by the Florida bar for his critical comments about so-called rocket dockets during an interview with CNN. It's discouraging when it appears as though there is an exception being made for foreclosure cases, he said. In February, Miami-Dade County Circuit Judge Maxine Cohen Lando took one of the largest foreclosure law firms in the state of Florida to task in a public hearing meant to send a message. She called Mark A. Ben Ezra, founding partner of Ben Ezra and Katz, PA, before her to explain discrepancies in a case handled by an attorney in his Fort Lauderdale-based firm. The case should have never been filed, said Judge Lando, who referred to the firm's work as on the case as shoddy and grossly incompetent. She called Ben Ezra a robot who filed whatever the bank sent him and held him in contempt of court. She then gave the homeowner the home free and clear and barred the lender from refiling the foreclosure. Attorney Maria Musari, who represents the homeowner, said she really wasn't surprised. She is the Judge Lando has become a voice for other Georgia's judges, Musari said. If judges crack down on the following rules, we still have foreclosures, but maybe the banks will pay attention and do it properly. Musari said it's taken a while for the courts to wake up to the foreclosure disorder because homeowners were largely unrepresented and judges overwhelmed. It's not that they don't care, she said. They have thousands of cases on their docket, and it's the same thing over and over again. Ongoing scrutiny by the FBI, the Florida Attorney General, the Florida Bar, the media, and defense attorneys has uncovered countless examples of forged signatures, post-dated documents, robo-signing, and lost paperwork. As a result, defense attorneys are filing more motions challenging the documents. That means judges must spend more time reviewing documents and holding hearings. The situation was complicated last week when attorney David J. Stern, who operated the largest so-called foreclosure mill in Florida, sent letters to chief judges of Florida's 20 circuit courts announcing that he intended to violate court rules and dump 100,000 foreclosure cases without a judge's order. We no longer have the financial or personal resources to continue to file motions to withdraw in tens of thousands of cases that we still remain as counsel of record, Stern wrote, suggesting that the judges treat the pending cases as you deem appropriate. Last year, Florida lawmakers gave the court $6 million to hire senior judges and case managers to reduce the foreclosure backlog. Since the money was awarded July 1, judges have cleared nearly 140,000 cases. As of the end of February, another 322,000 plus still remain in the system. Let me get down here to the bottom of this because some of this is waste. This is Alan White, a professor at Valparaiso University in Indiana, who has studied the foreclosure issue nationwide, said judges had few reasons to doubt banks in the beginning of the foreclosure avalanche. They had a lot of credibility. But now, when a bank says it owns a mortgage, judges have become quite skeptical. White said that a smattering of maverick judges began poking holes in foreclosures years ago before the media and lawmakers seized on problems in the fall. The combined impact will clearly be to change practices and to reduce the number of corner-cutting banks and their lawyers engaged in the practice. White said it could mean foreclosures get slower, but it could also encourage banks to pursue alternatives to foreclosure. Back to you, dear.
Okie dokie. Well, once again, my bit is on the fact that modern medicine has absolutely no accountability. And now proof is coming out by way of the British Medical Journal, which is not exactly some great beacon of truth in the modern medical industry. But even they're admitting that prostate cancer screening tests are completely and totally bogus. And this is at the end of a 20-year study, Jerry. And following,
do you mean to me I had cancer and I didn't have cancer? Is that what you're telling me?
I'm telling you that the screening process has zero benefit.
Oh, okay. You're talking about just the PSA test, that kind of stuff.
Yes.
Yeah, I already knew that, but go ahead, please.
Yes. The study followed over 9,000 men, and in the words of this article, prostate cancer screening is really a bogus test used to exploit men's fear and recruit them into unnecessary and potentially harmful cancer treatments. And of course, I'm not any sort of expert on prostate cancer. One of the articles that I came across, and I think I might have found it on Natural News, was saying that that one of the greatest connections to prostate health, besides, I think, getting enough vitamin D and so on and so forth, is copulation. And my husband would definitely say hear, hear to that point of view. But they had like a chart for men's different ages and, you know, how that impacts their chances of prostate cancer. It was very interesting. So I guess when Paul says, don't be separated from long for your from your spouse, except for times of prayer, he was giving good prostate cancer advice. I don't know. Back to you, Jerry.
Hey, let me ask you a question, dear. I'm going to put a little piece of information out there, and I want you to tell me if you think that this is an indication that the fiat system is indeed doomed one way or the other. G. Edward Griffin's awesome work, Uncovering the Federal Reserve System, that book, by the way, is The Creature from Jekyll Island, in case you didn't know, has actually hit Amazon charts as the number one bestseller in the category of money and monetary policy, and it ranks 32nd in all categories of nonfiction. And some of the people out here listening to us will probably know that he was covered and interviewed to a short degree on Glenn Beck's program, and Glenn Beck has been revealing the fraud. Maybe that's one of the reasons he's not going to be on mainstream media much longer. Back to you.
Wow. Well, this is a really good, interesting bit of information that I found. For those of you who once upon a time took flu shots, you are going to want this data and information. A recent study published in the Journal of Neurotoxicology says that the essential element selenium effectively scours the body of toxic mercury buildup and mitigates its neurotoxic effects. Why would you care about that if you'd once upon a time been taking flu shots? Well, I think in flu shots, one of the preservative elements of a flu shot or used to be, and of course the current flu shot that's combined with the swine flu, it does have mercury in it. Anyway, that mercury will build up in your body and has been connected to things like Alzheimer's. So if you need to detox, selenium is the thing. And selenium also visibly helps to improve mobility, athletic ability as the body ages, and so on and so forth. A team of scientists from Auburn University conducted the study and adds to the growing body of evidence proving the severe toxic effects of mercury in the body, which includes sensory and motor deficits, neurological damage, and so on and so forth. The team included 0.06 or 0.6 ppm of selenium as part of the test mice's diets. And after 100 days, researchers introduced varying levels of methylmercury ranging from 0 to 15 ppm into their drinking water for 16 months. At the end of the study period, researchers tested the mice for several different things, different elements that would have been caused by a mercury exposure and mercury buildup. Selenium, an essential nutrient, both increases deposition of mercury in neurons and mitigates some of mercury's neurotoxicity and significantly delayed or blunted mercury's effects, wrote the researchers in their papers. So make sure you're getting your daily amount of selenium.
And you know, you could do that by drinking a beer every day too, because there's selenium in beer.
Really?
Yes, indeed. My turn.
Yeah, it's your turn. That's cool, Jerry.
27 states now are dependent on federal funding as their primary source of revenue. That number will tend to increase in 2011 as states increasingly become subservient to the federal paymaster. Ironically, this is occurring as voters are demanding more state independence from Washington. State legislators and judges are mindful that they need federal money to keep their states functioning. This is why they often make strong speeches in favor of states' rights, but seldom put those words into action. Got time for another one? The Federal Reserve assures us that inflation is insignificant. However, the United States Treasury Department says that it may stop printing paper dollars because the cost of printing has risen 50% in the last 3 years. We're going to take a break, and when we come back, there's a lot more Freedom Frenzy left to go. Don't go anywhere.
Introducing the new Go Berkey Kit, the first of its kind portable water purification system for those on the go. The new Go Berkey system has an amazing output of about a gallon an hour. Each Go Berkey kit includes a 1-quart high-quality stainless steel system complete with a black Berkey purification element, a generic sports bottle, and a nylon carrying case. The whole kit weighs a mere 2.25 pounds. With an expected element life of around 3,000 gallons, you can refill the Go Berkey system up to an incredible 12,000 times before needing to replace the element. The new Go Berkey kit is perfect for backpacking, hiking, emergency packs, bug-out bags, international travel, car emergency kits, or for your desk at home or at work. Get your Go Berkey kit today for only $139 by calling 800-724-2719. That's 800-724-2719. Go to republicbroadcasting.org. The online store, it's a featured product.
Estrogen dominance, a brand new 20th century disease. A phrase coined by Dr. John R. Lee 35 years ago. Dr. Lee proved that all the estrogen that is coming from food and water is having a devastating effect on our health. The rapid rise in breast cancer, uterine cancer, prostate cancer, weight gain, osteoporosis, feminizing of our boys and early puberty of our girls, and also the destruction of natural killer cell function. Natural killer cells are our only protection from cancer and viral infection. Dr. Lee found that using natural progesterone, about 20 milligrams per day, would not only reverse osteoporosis, but would greatly reduce the cancer issues, as well as dozens of other health challenges we face today. Visit our website, healthlinkamerica.com, to order the DVD on hormone imbalance. Learn how hormone imbalance destroys the immune system and get started on natural progesterone and Cyto-S. It will not only change your life, it may in fact save your life. Once again, that website is healthlinkamerica.com.
Don't answer it!
If fear strikes your heart when the phone rings, knowing it may be another bill collector, it's time for you to call Zero Debt in 90 Days. 800-477-9256. Settlements, bankruptcy, and attorneys are not the answer and may end up costing you up to 10 times more than necessary. Listen, if you're already in debt, does it make sense to get buried in another payment plan? Zero Debt in 90 Days gets you out of debt in 90 days guaranteed without a payment plan and without attorneys or going to court. Get the fastest relief from debt on the planet when you call 800-477-9256. If you have debt with the IRS, credit cards, student loans, or a foreclosure, we can help at Zero Debt in 90 Days, and we are the only organization to provide written guarantees on the results. Go to ZeroDebtGuaranteed.com. That's ZeroDebtGuaranteed.com. Or call now for free information. 800-477-9256. That's 800-477-9256.
Every now and then I bring forth some sort of today in history bit, and I think today, April 4th, is a worthy today in history bit. I don't know if I'll do this all the time, Jerry, but you know me and my spontaneity. In 1541, on April 4th, Ignatius of Loyola becomes first superior general of the Jesuits. On April 4th, 1581, Francis Drake completes circumnavigation of the world, proving the earth is not flat. 1818, Congress decided U.S. flag is 13 red and white stripes and 20 stars. April 4th, 1949, the North Atlantic Treaty Organization, NATO, everybody's favorite, was formed in Washington, D.C. And on April 4th, in 1968, civil rights leader Martin Luther King Jr. was assassinated in Memphis, Tennessee. There's also some interesting birthdays. April 4th birthdays. Anthony Perkins, Muddy Waters, the Chicago blues singer.
Mm-hmm.
American bandleader Duke Ellington was born in 1899 on April 4th. So, I never realized Martin Luther King was shot on April 4th. That's interesting. All right, that's all I got about that. Jerry, you can go. Earth to Jerry. Wow, I guess I get to monopolize things here.
No. I was taking care of something, and I had to mute you so you didn't hear what was going on in the background. But I could hear you, and here I am. I'm right back.
All right.
As you probably know, the United States Department of Agriculture allows irradiation of food, and they call it electronic pasteurization, so as to not alarm consumers. An official with the USDA who helped to ease food radiation restrictions now is with the UN doing the very same thing with international guidelines. Many scientists believe that irradiation causes genetic and molecular changes that increase the risk of cancer in those who consume that food. The FDA actually acknowledges the fact that irradiation changes the makeup of food when it says in the same proposal that irradiation has various effects on food that may cause changes in the characteristics of the food. Such changes may occur in the food's organoleptic, nutritional, or functional properties that would not be noticeable at the point of purchase, but could be apparent when consumed or cooked. Of course, the FDA does not go so far as to say that the changes occur at the genetic level, causing cancer and a host of other health problems, or even that the changes are dangerous. In fact, they say that out of all of the food allowed to be irradiated by FDA regulations, there have been no changes. The proposal states, and I quote, "Currently, we are not aware of any changes to the nutritional properties of any food FDA has approved for irradiation," close quote. Though not a direct contradiction, it seems highly suspect that irradiation is known to cause changes in food, so well known that the FDA is forced to admit it, yet is unaware of any changes in the food which it allows to be irradiated. This shows that the FDA is proposing a position that would allow it to appear as if it were taking a harder stance with tougher rules while allowing for contamination of the approved irradiated food. This is sort of the obfuscation that gave rise to the slogan of the 1960s in my mind, and that slogan that I'm referencing here is, "You don't need a weatherman to tell you it's raining." Back to you, dear.
Yeah, I'm glad that you're pointing out that fact about irradiation, because I've started purchasing like my herbs and spices and stuff from special resources that do not sell irradiated things, and it completely kills the food. Like cloves is one of the strongest antiseptics on planet Earth, but because the only type of cloves any of us ever use are irradiated, their antiseptic qualities are completely gone. So this is a huge detriment to the health of Americans, the fact that we're consuming irradiated food.
Do you know what apologetics they give for irradiating the cloves, just out of curiosity?
Well, all herbs and spices, I think, are required to be irradiated to kill off any potential bugs. And, of course, bugs aren't going to hang out with cloves anyway, I don't think. But this is their defense for forcing irradiation on most herb producers.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's cool. You know, that makes it worthwhile to look into growing your own.
Yeah,
and you know, that's going to be a slogan coming out here for too long, I suspect. Grow your own in many different instances.
Many different instances. But the other thing is, this is what's so insane. If you, you know, consume the occasional bug, the amount of bugs people consume by drinking orange juice, you don't even want to know the studies I've looked at if you consume McDonald's hamburgers and what little extras are lurking in under the bun, so to speak.
You know, that's what they put on the label. That's why they put on the labels of just about everything natural flavorings. Hey, I'm not joking. That means bug parts. Yummy, yummy.
Yeah. Anyway,
everything you can imagine you buy in the store, if you look really close, it'll say natural flavorings. Well, that's not gifts from God. Those are bugs.
Well, on the anniversary of the creation of NATO, when we come back from this break, we'll talk about NATO having taken command of the Libyan war. We'll be back in a moment, y'all. Stay with us.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. because you can handle the truth.
The Grainmaker Grain Mill. Handmade goodness since 1999. Handcrafted stainless steel and high-quality alloys. There has not been a finer grain mill made right here in the great state of Montana. Hand-operated, the grain mill does it all. Wheat, corn, peanut butter, rye, rice, coffee, beans, flaxseed, all grain types. Make your own gluten-free flour. Experience the satisfaction of providing wholesome, nutritious foods for your family without additives or preservatives. Each mill is handcrafted with manufacturer's lifetime warranty. To order your grain mill, call us at 1-800-724-2719 or go to our online store, republicbroadcasting.org. Take a look at why this grain mill will be passed down through generation.
Introducing IXL Anti-Friction Metal Conditioner. IXL works at the molecular level to reduce friction by penetrating into and bonding onto the microscopic openings of the walls of ferrous base metals. The surfaces become smoother and denser, and this reduces the heat, friction, metal expansion, and wear caused by moving metal surfaces. The benefits are reduced maintenance activities and cost, increased fuel efficiency, and prolonged equipment life. It will not clog filters, pipes, injectors, or supply lines, does not build up or accumulate upon itself as do many other additives. IXL does not contain moly, PTFE, or graphites. Also offers the tremendous benefits of being non-toxic. It's used for a friction reducer and performance enhancer in gas or diesel engines, transmissions, automatic or standard gearboxes, turbos, electric motors, outdrives, lathe, and cutting applications. Go to republicbroadcasting.org, then to our online store, or call us at 800-724-2719. That's 800-724-2719.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Well, comrades, we got lots more stuff to throw at you, but we've had some people call in this morning, and as our normal modus operandi is, we don't want to leave people hanging any longer than they have to. But if you want to call in too, it's 1-800-313-9443. That's 1-800-313-9443. You can jump in and talk to Jenny, Jerry, and get a load off, whatever you want to do. Let's go to Ron in Cleveland.
Hi.
Which Cleveland is that, Ron?
I beg your pardon?
Which Cleveland is that? Is that Ohio or Tennessee or where?
Ohio. Yep.
Ohio.
So I wanted to comment on the blurb you read from the FDA regarding irradiated foods.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah?
I believe what you read was something like, the FDA says it's not aware of any changes in the foods that are approved for irradiation.
That's correct. That's what the article that I brought says.
But that doesn't say anything about what happens to the food after they're irradiated. It's just saying that, hey, we're not aware of any changes in the foods that are approved. Kind of like
approved to be irradiated.
Yeah, so when they come in to be irradiated, at that point, he's not aware of any changes in them.
Mm-hmm.
But after irradiation, he doesn't say anything what happens to them. I don't know. That's the way I took it.
Yeah, and the article actually points that out, that it's problematic. It doesn't do it in kind of a nasty, booger-flicking way. It just kind of points out it very, very conveniently that it puts the FDA kind of in a crossfire, saying one thing when actually they're saying something else entirely.
Right, yeah. Well, anyway, that was my take on the statement, so I thought I'd just throw that in there.
Oh, well, yeah, manipulative semantics of the FDA. I think it's fun.
Gosh, I'll tell you what, after reading several of the books that I have read, the United States government, all across its upper tier, at least insofar as people that put out pronouncements, reports, or anything else, and laws for that matter, particularly in the regulation department, they've got some people that are just wonderfully twisted mind wordsmiths out there that say something that means something entirely different. And then when you get into the issue of pertinent and specific definitions of words that they use to trip everybody else up, it's diabolical. It really is.
Yeah. It's a twisted
and, you know,
world.
And with most people only having an eighth grade education today, and even that is kind of subject to scrutiny, we're at a loss. We're at a loss as to how to deal with these people because, quite frankly, they're talking over most of our heads. It's headache prone at any rate. Anything else, Ron?
No, I appreciate you taking my call, though.
Hey, thank you for calling.
Have a good day.
You too, sir.
Bye-bye. All right. I can guess what Joe in Pennsylvania wants to talk about. Hey, Joe.
Hello.
Good morning.
Good morning. I'm glad that you had the time to look through the material that I sent. And by the way, I appreciate the fact that you're waiting to, you know, what's the word, assimilate it and, you know, make it, you know, present it in a nice way rather than shooting from the hip. But just three basic things I noticed about or observations myself I've made about this dispensationalism / Schofieldianism.
Yeah.
One is that it's the basic view, the basic gist of this thing is that God set aside his promises to Israel. In other words, he dealt with Israel up until the time of Christ, and then once Christ was resurrected, then the church age started. And he's dealing with the church now, but he's going to deal with Israel someday, which I think is a bunch of nonsense. I think Christ was his ultimate dealing with Israel.
Yeah, I think the book of Zechariah pretty much undoes that argument.
Yeah.
I think there's always this put. I find it in strange pockets where people want to imagine that you can divvy up the Gospels and you can divvy up the Old Testament and kind of create different applications for different groups of people in terms of...
And Paul made the observation. Here's Paul, who was a Jew from the Sanhedrin, who talks about that the wall of division that was between Jew and Gentile was taken down, and I'm not quoting it exactly, but was removed in Christ.
Yeah.
He said to the Gentiles he was writing to, you were once removed from Israel. Now, that would mean that now they are part of Israel. I mean, it's... But here's an interesting quote from Schofield. I'm not going to read the whole quote, but on page 9 of the Information Clearinghouse thing that I sent was, basically, if what Schofield is saying is right, God is a bigamist. Because it says, Israel is the wife of Jehovah, now disowned, but yet to be restored, and the church is the wife, the virgin wife of the Lamb today. So, I mean, you know, we've got to, I guess, pray that God divorces one of his wives.
That's an interesting perspective. I hadn't really thought of that. Of course, this idea that one day the temple will be rebuilt, and Schofield said that the chapters of 40 through 48 of Ezekiel are to be taken literally. Their fulfillment will be in the millennial kingdom. The temple will be rebuilt. Animal sacrifices will be again offered. And Schofield said, doubtless these offerings will be memorial, looking back to the cross, as the offerings under the old covenant were anticipatory, looking forward to the cross. That's crazy. It is one of the plainest universal teachings in the New Testament that the sacrifices of the Mosaic economy were fulfilled in Christ and were taken away as vanishing shadows that prefigured the substance. And
the book of Hebrews bears out everything you just said. where he wrote this letter. This letter was written to Jewish Christians who were being persecuted and were thinking going back to Judaism. And the author, some believe it's Paul and some believe it was Barnabas or somebody else, basically set them straight and said, no, you know, these sacrifices were a foreshadowing of the ultimate sacrifice that Christ made.
Yeah, I think the Hebrews 7:27 bit, who needeth not daily as those high priests to offer up sacrifice, first for his own sins and then for the people's, for this he did once when he offered up himself, just pointing out that the old ordinances were fulfilled and done away in Christ. And, you know, what Paul said, the warnings he offered in Galatians 4:9 and 5:1, how turn ye again to the weak and beggarly elements, whereunto ye desire again to be in bondage. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. It's pretty clear to me.
And we are the temple of God. Christians are the temple of God. So the temple is being rebuilt, but it's being rebuilt as people come to Christ, and the temple of God, which is the church of Christ, is rebuilt. And the last thing is, though, if you really want to get a dispensationalist all upset, you know, and see the look in their face, you know, like somebody who... Like Dracula seeing the wooden cross, just talk about the synagogue of Satan. And they get all upset, you know, and they'll say, well, you know, there's other religions that reject Christ too. Yeah, but there's none that have the hatred for him that Talmudic Judaism has. None.
None that Christ spoke explicitly to.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, there is an interesting quote by Philip Monroe in which he says, dispensationalism may be fascinating as a work of art, but as a revelation, it rests on a foundation of sand. The entire system of dispensational teaching is modernistic in the strictest sense. It is modernism, moreover, of a very pernicious sort, such that it must have a Bible of its own for the propaganda of its peculiar doctrines, since they are not in the Word of God.
Yeah,
but it's a cafeteria style interpretation.
Leave what you
don't want and take what you want.
I can't imagine why you'd want that sort of a quote unquote dispensation. I don't know. Oh well. Well, it's going to be a good show, Joe. I'm very excited about it. And Jerry and I are approaching it from two different angles, which I think will add to the fun. But I think Schofield didn't originate these ideologies. He just made them a go, probably in desperation for funding, partly. And then because he was assisting a group of people in advancing a very predetermined agenda. But he wasn't the originator. So when
Darby was the originator, and Darby's statements were so incredibly outrageous that, you know, they really couldn't make him, you know, if they tried to say it was Darwinism, I mean, it would just be so incredibly discredited because he said things even more outrageous than Schofield did.
Yeah, and some of the stuff that I read said that Darby lifted that ideology from somebody else entirely. So...
Well, he had handlers. That's the whole thing. I mean, these guys, and if you look at the, by the way, it's not necessary to be a preterist to appreciate this, but the one on the Preterist Archives article about Schofield, and it talks a little about Darby. I mean, they had handlers. They had people behind them. I honestly believe that the House of Rothschild is behind it all. But, you know, in terms of his personal life, I don't think... Probably you haven't met many people of a lower quality than Schofield. I don't think he ever worked a day in his life for an honest living. He abandoned his family, refused to support his daughter. I mean, none, you know, in no way whatsoever did he give his ex-wife and daughter any support. And he just, I mean, he went to jail several times for basically engaging in different scams. You know, and then all of a sudden now...
I know, I think that's so awesome.
I think he's earned the label reprobate probably two times over. Maybe reprobate with gold cluster. How's that?
Oh, yeah. He could give less... That's probably the one thing he could teach.
It's pretty interesting. And, you know, shame on me, really. I just kind of forgot about all this stuff. And when we talk about with frustration, the even jellyfish's totally enraptured sense of irrational thought when it comes to the country of Israel, you know, you can't really understand their perspectives until you understand the fraud of Schofield.
Well, it's just, you know, when they have this Genesis 12:3 just bombarded into their brain, you know, I will bless those who bless thee and curse those who curse thee, and obviously nobody wants God's curses, but they don't realize that God wants us to rightly divide the word of truth, and they don't do that.
Let me ask you a question, Joe.
Sure.
In the book of Zechariah, I think that what Zechariah's prophecy is talking about is the new Jerusalem.
Yes.
With the information in the book of Zechariah, where do you anticipate that new Jerusalem is?
Well, I've mentioned before that I believe that you know, people who've come to Christ have come to the new Jerusalem. I don't believe there's going to be a literal Jerusalem. And one of the verses in Zechariah, I went scrambling for a Bible here. I couldn't find one. But it talked about, and it shall come to pass in those days that everybody who does not go to Jerusalem of all the nations will not receive, rain, will not receive rain. And it talks about every group, you know, the Egypt and Assyria. And so I don't believe that everybody has to literally go to physical Jerusalem. And even if that were literally true, which I think would logistically would be almost impossible, it still shows that Jerusalem does not belong to the Jews.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so whether you interpret that literally or allegorically is irrelevant in, as far as that goes. But, you know, we're citizens of Jerusalem. You know, the heavenly Jerusalem, which Paul talks about in some of his writings in Galatians. It's talked about in the book of Hebrews. This isn't some theory. You know, we don't need special footnotes for that.
All right, Joe. Well, I'm glad that you gave us a little teaser on Schofield.
Jenny's chomping at the bit to just cut loose with it, and I thought we'd be better served packaging it a little bit better. Jerry, and I appreciate you saying that too, Joe.
Yeah, any idea when you're going to present, do a show on it?
I'm hoping we're going to get started tomorrow, on how much FaceTime, quote unquote, Jerry and I can get tonight to digest our notes. Jerry's always the voice of sanity in this dynamic duo. ready aim.
I am waiting with bated breath, as I think many people are. So,
I think it's going to be interesting. I'm afraid that Jenny spoke a little bit too soon. Some of the information may serve to alienate some of our listeners, but you know, sharing information and I don't know if we're going to be able to take calls on day one. What do you think, dear?
Take calls on days.
Yeah, maybe this is something we need to talk about because it's going to be a huge body of stuff.
I was like, what in the world are you talking about? It's going to be a big body of stuff, and I think probably day two we'll start taking calls. And as far as alienating our listenership, I think of our listeners as people who really love facts, which is kind of why even though some of them who hate us continue to listen to the show because they're kind of curious about what facts we stumble across.
Yeah, what are those idiots going to do today?
Yeah, exactly. we are presenting facts when we address Schofield and what agenda was behind him and what the ramifications have been of his version of the Bible. I guess we should use lowercase b. And so I think that the facts will be on our side in the end. And it's never scary to me to look at facts and reexamine things and look at perspectives not ever before considered, but then I've buried many of my childhood heroes solemnly and haven't really resurrected too many more to put on their empty pedestals, so I don't know. I don't think we're going to alienate anybody.
Okay. We'll have to hide and watch, though.
You might alienate both of the dispensationalists that listen to RBN, you know, just warning you.
Wait a second, what?
I said, might alienate both of the dispensationalists that listen to RBN. there aren't that many. I bet you could probably count them on one hand, or maybe two hands, but there just really aren't a lot of dispensationalists. And just maybe you might enlighten a dispensationalist. This is something that we need to get out to the churches, you know. And it's funny, I present the Information Clearinghouse article. I presented that to some people in the evangelical church I used to go to. And some people were receptive to it. You know, a few people didn't like it because, you know, I still support Israel. You know, they...
what is up with that?
Yeah, it certainly jerks the rug off of that, doesn't it?
Israel is an incredibly anti-Christ nation. They hate Jesus. Really. They really do. And if
They wouldn't even use plus signs in their arithmetic books because it looked like a cross. That's how much they hate him.
Yeah, and they're horrible to Christians. If you hold Israeli citizenship, you convert to Christianity and you're caught proselytizing, gasp, you can be jettisoned from the country.
Well, let's put this, if somebody kills you, they will look the other way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
No, I don't think even one Jewish person has been prosecuted for killing a Christian in Israel.
I never
Maybe
thought
they
about
got a, you know, well.
All right. Well, I think maybe we've opened a can of worms. We got some callers in the queue. We're going to cut away to a break. This is Freedom Frenzy, controversial and always interesting. We'll be right back.
Help, I've fallen and I can't get up. If you have an elderly loved one, please listen. Whether it's fire danger, a serious fall, or other type of home emergency, Life Alert is there for you. The company with the slogan, Help, I've Fallen and I Can't Get Up, protects 60,000 members.
The first time I fell in that bedroom and I couldn't reach the phone.
When you have a heart attack like I did and there's no one there, Life Alert was there for me.
Having a secure feeling through Life Alert is ideal.
My independence is possible because of it.
Listen to former U.S. Surgeon General Dr. C. Everett Koop.
Thanks to Life Alert, you can live alone without ever being alone. That's why I wear one.
With Life Alert protection, elderly people can often postpone going to a nursing home for several years. For a free brochure about Life Alert service, call now 1-800-410-0739. 1-800-410-0739. Call Life Alert now for your free brochure, 1-800-410-0739.
Are skyrocketing prescription costs draining your budget? If you don't have insurance or are taking medication not covered by insurance, the Powerhouse Savings Card can lower your prescription costs by up to 50%. Now you and your family can save 20 to 50% on all prescriptions. It's accepted by most pharmacies and mail-order pharmacies nationwide. No prescription card is easier to use. Just show your card and save 20 to 50% right on the spot. There are no monthly fees, just a one-time processing fee of only $4.95 for you and your immediate family. Stop paying full price for prescriptions. Stop going without the medication you need because it costs too much. Now your family can get the prescriptions they need at a cost you can afford. Call 1-800-963-0232 now and start saving money with the Powerhouse Savings Card. Call 1-800-963-0232. 1-800-963-0232. 1-800-963-0232.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
When I had a heart attack at 42, I was not sure what the future held. But a year later, the doctors could find nothing wrong with me and took me off all my medication. What did I do? I took a herbal mixture of garlic, cayenne, and a few other herbs mixed in liquid form. I now call this Extendovite. I would have never believed that a few simple herbs could actually change my life like they did. Now it's your turn to see what the powers of garlic and cayenne can do for you. For only $69.95 plus shipping and handling for a 2-month supply of either capsules or liquid, you too can begin on your path to better health. For more information, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit our website at heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Comrades, we're back. Thank you for being patient and hanging around, not going anywhere. I hope you did like I did and ordered something nice and warm to drink while during that little break. We've got a lot of more people in the queue, and if you want to join us, 1-800-313-9443 is the way to get here. Let's go to Rodney in Indiana. Good day, Rodney. What you got for us?
Yes, brother. Thank you for taking my call, and I want to say kudos to Joe for exposing this dangerous false dispensational doctrine, and it becomes even more obvious if we consider 2 Corinthians 4:18, which says, the things which are seen are temporal, but the things that are not seen are eternal. The state of Israel can be seen. Therefore, it was temporal by definition, not even going through any more scriptural interpretations. We know that, so therefore their main scripture of Amos 9:15, which says, they shall no more be pulled up out of their land. This land is eternal land. It cannot refer to any temporal land that can be seen, and that is an extremely important point that devastates dispensationalism even further. And then we have a new heaven and a new earth from Revelation 21, where the first heaven and the first earth were passed away. That was the old covenant system. But now we have access to the new Jerusalem, and the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them. The whole point of destroying the earthly tabernacle is so that the heavenly new Jerusalem could be firmly established, and that's when God would wipe away all their tears. There'll be no more death, no more sorrow, neither crying nor any more pain, for the former things are passed away. This was God's whole goal, to destroy this old tabernacle so that he could raise up a new Jerusalem. And that's what I wanted to add to Joe's doctrine.
Well, I'm glad you had an opportunity to do that, Rodney. We appreciate you calling. Anything else?
Yeah, thanks.
No, I'm certainly hopeful that the listeners will take note of the New Jerusalem that already exists since 70 AD. So God bless you and keep up the good work.
Well, thank you for that.
Thanks, Rodney. Ed in Utah, welcome to our crazy train.
Good morning, Jenny and Jerry.
Hey there.
Let me start by saying no. My boss is not a Jewish carpenter, and I know you've seen that bumper sticker before, and I would like to add a couple things. These are good callers coming on here to bolster what needs to get out there concerning the chapter 2, verse 9 of the book of Revelation. Those who say they are Jews and are not, but are of the synagogue of Satan. That's the full quote, Jerry.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just it. Who's identified in the world today as claiming they are Jews? Okay, Christ also says, know them by their fruits. All right, let's look at the fact that post-World War II, Europe, Bolshevik Europe, was taken over with, like, look at Holland. They were against, before the Hemlock Society took over there, they were against euthanasia. Then it became a hallmark. It's creeping in over here, of course, in a big way. Abortion. Abortion was the second law on the Knesset, the Israeli Congress, on the books there back in 1947, 48. The list goes on.
Wait. What?
Yeah.
Back in 1948, the new nation of Israel had legalized abortion?
Absolutely. In fact, recently, and I'll tell you what, some of the neocon Christian leaders that are on the air today know this, and here's how they spin it. They're not even denying it, Jenny. They're on there saying, well, they are lamenting that they have broken God's law with abortion and are therefore losing on the birth rate to the Arabs in the area. And I'm thinking, boo-hoo. And
holy cow. I am so glad, Ed, you brought that little juicy, damning tidbit to our attention. We got to cut away to a break. Don't go anywhere. This is Freedom Frenzy, y'all. Stay tuned. You won't hear this anywhere else.